So we've been learning in the last few weeks. One, we're supposed to stay yoked to Jesus, right? Two, we're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit, who is, as Jesus speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and follow that guidance, right? And three, we're supposed to know the truth. Know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And fourthly, stop looking at YouTube for answers.
Amen.
Amen. Or Google, or whoever, I don't know. Oh, there we go. And above all, stay calm. Right? There's a word. Calm, the absence of mental stress or anxiety. Heart peace. I like that one. Heart peace. Calm is trust in action. And our only way we can have that trust is to trust absolutely 100% all the time in God. When we trust in God 100% of the time, we will always be calm. Correct? Right? Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, in quietness and confidence, another word for trust, you have strength and you have rest. And you have calm. So I don't know about you, every once in a while the world gets a little messy, does it not? Things kind of go wrong from time to time, right? And sometimes our mind gets caught up in some of those things, right? Every once in a while, I used to ride a bike as a kid. Remember you had to make sure you didn't wear long pants, at least I did when I was a kid. And when I was growing up, we had bell bottoms, so they're really wide bottoms to that. So my mom would always say, don't ride your bike with those bell bottoms. Why? Because they got caught in the spokes of the wheel. The chain or the whip. Mine would always get somehow in the, I don't know how I got in the spokes. I don't know, I just did. Mainly because I would try to get off the bike when I was freaking out, right? And there would be, the wheel would be spinning and I'd be in it. That's me. Does our mind not do that from time to time? How often do we see a phrase, a word, a statement, some kind of story, some kind of something that our mind latches onto and before you know you're spinning out of control with it, right? There's enough bad news to go around the world today, is there not? And it can really freak you out, can it? And it can really help cause you to have something what we call turmoil of the mind. It's something that often happens to us. It's called agitation. And agitation is the lack of calm. It's when movement's happening and you're not really going anywhere. That's what a washer does. It agitates the clothes. That's how it gets it clean. But I don't know about you. I don't like being in life in a closed washer of my brain going like this, right? It doesn't really do anything but just get me dizzy. Anybody else have that problem sometimes with your mind? See, agitation is actually anxiety and worry in action. We get agitated emotionally. We get fired up. We get angry. All those negative emotions. And I know this, God is not the God of agitation, chaos, or any of those kinds of things, is he? God, Jesus was not like that whatsoever, was he? Neither should we be, correct? Correct. So we're going to be different from the world. We're going to be people that no matter what we're doing, we're going to find a way to keep our mind and our heart calm at all times. You want to know how? Okay. I got one. So far, so good. And the rest of you catch up, I'll tell you the how. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. This is when the early church was beginning, and this is when Paul and some of his other followers had been going to Macedonia, and also work was happening in Ephesus. The new church was being grown. And so things were happening to change people to understand that our God was the God of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, and they were learning to become believers in Christ and followers of Christ. But as a result, some of the people that were in Ephesus that were Greek did not want to follow what Paul's teachings or the other teachings of the early Christians. And so they got agitated, just to let you know. Verse 23. Serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. That's what it was originally called, the way. Following the way. Jesus is the way, right? A different way than what other people had believed in all the other gods. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together along with the others employed in similar trades and addressed them as follows. Artemis was a Greek goddess, just to let you know. It was somebody that the Greeks at the time worshipped, one among many gods. And so Paul and the other disciples were teaching there's one God and that this God is real. This God actually lived and breathed and walked and taught. That was Jesus. That was how God, the invisible God, became visible in Jesus Christ. But here's what this man says to those other craftsmen that built a business selling silver, little ornaments and statues of Artemis so you could worship that golden or silver statue. Obviously one of the Ten Commandments, right? Worship, no, there are no other gods before me, but needless to say, no graven images. But here's what this man says. Gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from this business. So what's the man concerned about? Money, wealth, Artemis, the goddess? No, she's not the goddess of money. She's the goddess of whatever, right? But it was a means to make money, selling these artifacts. But as you have seen and heard, this man, Paul, has persuaded many that handmade gods aren't really gods at all. Would that be a true statement? Handmade gods, wood, stone, silver, gold, whatever it's made of, is not a god at all. In fact, it's an inanimate object with no power whatsoever. Right? Of course. Paul's persuading, he's changing people's minds about who God really is. And he's done this not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. We're losing money, we're bleeding money because of this Paul. Of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her great prestige. Is he really worried about Artemis and all of her prestige? He's worried about what? Money, the root, the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. Verse 28. At this, their anger boiled. You see, when somebody says something that causes disagreement or the loss of something, especially money and power and things of that nature, do you see how angry people get when their money is threatened? Their work is threatened, their business is threatened, their power is threatened. You see what transpires? These people boiled over with anger. And they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Soon the whole city was filled with confusion. This is what can happen when a mob starts to think some things that are not truthful, right? And when somebody's says something to a crowd and gets them riled up and their anger begins to boil, right? We call that peer pressure, correct? Soon the whole city was filled with confusion. Everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Artichus, who was Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. So now they're dragging these people there, right? Why? Because the perpetrators of the truth, right? Paul wanted to go in too, but the believers wouldn't let him, probably to save his life, right? Some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, also sent a message to him, begging him not to risk his life by entering the amphitheater. Just imagine, because somebody that was a silversmith making money riles up a crowd with a bunch of lies and only about the power that and money that he has, he gets the crowd stirred up, and suddenly, Paul's life is at risk. Do you see how we go from zero to hate in 1 second? Inside, the people are all shouting, some one thing and some another. They're just yelling at this point. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. But it's It's like watching a car accident. You can't look, right? Or not look. You see what happens to human beings when somebody gets all riled up and agitated? What happens to the crowd? It expands. People don't even know why they're upset. They didn't hear the speech, did they? But they heard somebody else say, hey, we got to get there. We got to go take on these people. Inside, the people all shouting. Everything was in confusion. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander forward and told him to explain the situation. He motioned for silence and tried to speak. Someone of logical mind shows up. Someone who knows the truth shows up. But when the crowd realized he was a Jew, they started shouting again and kept it up for 2 hours. Slightly agitated, expanding into chaos, right? Out of control crowd. Great is Artemius of the Ephesians. Great is Artemius of the Ephesians. That's what they shouted for 2 hours. Like it was going to make God different, right? Like it was going to change anything, right? What was it doing? Stirring up a crowd of people to follow something false, to cause someone to hate somebody for no good reason. They didn't even know why, some of these folks. Is that not still happening in our world today? But we don't attend those kind of crowd things, do we? At last, the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to speak. Citizens of Ephesus, he said, everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis. It's actually one of the 7 wonders of the world, in case you didn't know that. It's been crushed. It's down to rubble right now. So much for that. Whose image fell down to us from heaven. Since this is an undeniable fact, you should stay calm and do not do anything rash. He's telling them, if this is what you believe to be true, so be it. Why are you trying to fight with the other people trying to say it isn't? You see what I'm saying? If that's what you really believe, so be it. You might be wrong, but have at it. But don't do anything rash. Let's not kill a person over what you think and believe, right? You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple and have not spoken against our goddess. They are innocent. So he's speaking now what? The truth. The truth. You notice how the truth shows up in the middle of a problem? In the middle of chaos? In the middle of falsehood? The truth will always emerge every single time. Sometimes it takes more time, but it always emerges. If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session, and the officials can hear the case at once. Let them make formal charges. That's the legal, logical way to do things, how to solve the problem. And if there are complaints about other matters, they can be settled in a legal assembly, not in a forum where you're screaming and yelling crazy things. Right? Being agitated, getting so riled up you want to kill somebody, hurt somebody. Crowd, mob violence starts, right? I am afraid we are in danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government. And since there is no cause for all this commotion, we'll be in big trouble. And if Rome demands an explanation, we won't know what to say. Then he dismissed them. And they dispersed. Wow. Nothing happened to Paul or Gaius or any of the others there, Alexander or anyone, right? Truth prevailed. Calm prevailed. You notice that one person out of all these people with common sense, using logic, wanting calm, wanting peace, stopped the mob violence. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Who are those people today? We are. We are. We are. If we say that we trust God and God's in control, is there any need for us to ever get agitated about things? Is there any reason for us to boil over with anger towards others? Is there any reason for us to shout crazy things at other people? Is there any reason for us to want violence against others? Never, right? That's in the literal sense, right? But let me ask a quick question. What goes on in your mind when some of these things occur? Just hearing this story, how many of you got a little agitated at these blacksmiths? How many of you got a little ticked off at the way they were treating Paul? How many of you wanted them just like torn to shreds and be done with? Right? The human nature. But we're yoked to Jesus, remember? We listen to the Holy Spirit, don't we? How many of you inside your own mind on any given day have a battle? A battle. How many of you have a bunch of people living up here? And then you turn on TV, Facebook, or what other kind of source of information that you're looking for. Looking to hear how somebody's doing so well. And something creeps in there, and it's not really pleasant or good. Or it's very upsetting, in fact. It's unjust. It may even be evil. What goes on up here? Chaos. Some people talk about the devil and the angel on the shoulder, right? Sometimes there's, you know, sometimes they think the devil jumps over to the shoulder and tries to knock the angel off, right? That's what the devil does. After all, he is the father of lies, Jesus said. Every lie comes from Satan. The truth comes from God. Which are you going to believe? God, every time, right? So when there's conflict inside your own mind, anybody ever have that? Anybody have a little mishap occur once in a while in your life? And maybe, or how many times is it really a catastrophe? Can you make it a catastrophe in your mind? How about thinking about the future? How about the things that you're worried about? How about the things that you care about that you're not sure about? What about those things where you don't know what your future holds, right? How many of you up in here get a little agitated? Oh, no one wants to say, and that's okay. It's interesting to me that as my sermon was coming to me this week, I heard the word calm. Calm. And I was thinking, boy, the congregation needs to hear about being calm. And then interestingly enough, I think I heard that like on Wednesday-ish. And through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, my life got a little bit topsy-turvy, as all of our lives sometimes do, right? And it wasn't me, I want you to know. I did not cause any of this. Just setting this record straight. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? You got to figure that one out. But needless to say, when things happen, right, we react, don't we? Right? Action, reaction. It's physics even, correct? Mentally speaking, for every action, every stimulus that we have around us, visually, hearing it, seeing it, feeling it, every kind of time we're stimulated, we have a response, don't we? And a reaction. Now, what's your reaction each and every time? Calm. Calm. God has me. All is well. I trust God to get me through this. I'm going to listen to God and decide how I'm going to respond. You like those words? I said it was trust in action, right? Words alone don't get us there, do they? This morning I was getting into my car. Had my Bible put in the back seat. I had my water. Spilled it all over the seat, all over the chair, all over the passenger seat, all into my console. And I sat there. My half of it fell on my clothing. Calm. Calm. I'm going to preach about calm today. Very funny, God. I guessed. Now, just imagine this specific thing. If it wasn't water and it was coffee, oh, now calm goes to agitation instantaneously, right? I got to buy a new car now because it's got coffee stains on it. Very logical. Do not do anything rash. What I love about this story, when God said calm, I look at things sometimes in oppositional ways of how to, because most of us aren't calm all the time, are we, if we're telling the truth, right? We're working on it, aren't we? And you're going to get to know how in a second. I did promise that. It's a practice. It's a strategy. It's something we have to continuously say to ourselves, stay calm. Don't do anything rash. Rash is impulsive, right? Out of anger, out of instinct, out of just reacting without even thinking. Now, I know all of us are great thinkers, are we not? And we have God, the Holy Spirit, in us, right? And if we're yoked to Jesus and you spill something in your car and you're yoked to him, are you going to stay calm? Hey, Jesus, can you clean this up for me? A little thing, right? A little thing like that can disrupt our peace, can it? Just think about big things when they come. So here's the answer and how to have calm, heart peace all the time. A, turn away from evil. If you're looking at something and it upsets you, turn away from it. Change the channel. Swipe left, swipe right. Throw your phone down if you have to. Turn off the TV channel if something's upsetting you and you know that it's evil. And if someone's putting out lies out there, stop listening to them, because you can't do anything about them, can you? You can pray. But it's going to disrupt your peace if you keep looking at stuff like that. In the scriptures, it says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:1. So the first thing you do when you start to get, if you haven't turned away from what's evil, and then the second part of that in Psalm 46:10 says this, 34:10 says, seek peace and pursue it. So what's your goal? Peace. Seeking and pursuing it, chasing after it above all things. Right? So first and foremost, turn away from evil. Do good and seek peace and pursue it. And then be still and know that God is in control. God has you. Be still. Don't do anything rash. Don't say anything foolish. And certainly don't do something impulsive that's going to give you a bad outcome later. Think about the consequences of what you're doing. Correct? If I do this yelling and screaming right now, and if I throw my, some of you that are sports fans, I know there's a lot of broken TVs during sports season. But I mean, but here's the thing. Calm is constructive of good, right? And agitation or lack of calm or rash actions is destructive of good. It creates more problems than what you started with. And then, okay, so far, turn away from evil, seek peace and pursue it. That's one scripture there for you. Be still and know that God is God. Just be still. Sit still before you do anything. If you have to sit still for 3 days, 7 days, or 40 days before you decide what you're going to do about the situation that occurred, do that. And know that God's in control. And only act as God through the Holy Spirit tells you to act. Because you're yoked to Jesus, the Holy Spirit tells you the truth, and then you'll act on that only, right? Three simple steps. Kind of mangled in there as far as action goes. But if you start with just being still, that's going to be enough too, right? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, ever present, always ready to help us in times of trouble. Do you notice even in this situation, Paul didn't do anything. He was going to go to the amphitheater. Alexander tried to calm the crowd, but nothing happened. God sent the mayor instead. You notice that? Right? God will act on your behalf when you run into problems, even up here. And lastly, you can always tell the voices in your head to be silent. You can. When Jesus was in the boat, remember those two stories? The waves and the wind started crashing, right? And the disciples started getting freaked out and agitating and rocking the boat even more. What does Jesus say? He says, silence, be still. Who is he really speaking to? The boat rockers. The wind and the waves, the wind causes the waves to get all agitated. But he said, be silent. Sometimes when thoughts go in our mind, we have to tell them to be silent and not act on them. Change the channel. To attain calm is your greatest goal as a Christian. Many, many people, out of anger, even towards other people, non-believers as an example, have caused problems for us Christians, have they not? And in the name of God, have caused harm and hurt and violence to others, but especially towards themselves as well. So if you can cultivate calm through trust, see, basically it's all about trust, right? Trusting God, first and foremost, being still, telling the voices in your head to be silent and only listen to the voice of God in your head, the Holy Spirit, you will have a calm, peaceful life. I want to end with a bad story about me, because I want to show you how foolish agitation can be. Many, many, many years ago, Becky and I were in a chemistry class together with another coworker. And we were in, had to go also into a math class. And so we were studying together, and it was one of those learn-as-you-go kind of classes where as you pass the different tests, they would allow you to move up to the next grade and so forth and so on. And so the teacher was sitting in the front of the class reading a book. And Becky couldn't understand how to do some of the math. And we weren't supposed to talk to each other with the answers. And so she went up to the teacher and asked the teacher for some help, and he blew her off. He went like that to her. And he went back to his book. And I saw that.
Calm.
Mm-hmm. Calm. Not. I think this is BJ before Jesus, I'm sure. And so she whispered over to me, I can't figure this out. I don't know what I'm doing. And the teacher, I said, so go ask the teacher. That's what he's getting paid for. So she went back up to the teacher, and she was trying to ask him a question. And he said, leave me alone. And he said, get away from me. So I got up. I went up to that teacher. I said, give me that book. You're getting paid to teach. You're going to teach. What kind of teacher are you? And I threw the book right at his face, and I went out the door, got in my car, and left. I got about halfway home and realized Becky wasn't in the car with me. Front row. So I went on home thinking, okay, what do I do now? And luckily, her coworker brought her home. And she said, if you ever, 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 ever embarrass me or act like that again, I'm so sorry. She said, you get back to that school and you apologize to that teacher right now. So, anyway. Oh, see, you got to know, right? I said this was the bad joys. I think I did, as a matter of fact. I wanted a happy home for the rest of my life after that. I don't think I think we quit that. We kind of dropped out of that class for another class, I believe it was. I don't remember. This is like 1982-ish, so how am I going to remember that? But the point is, it wasn't very calm, was it? Wasn't very peaceful. It was agitated, and it was rash action, was it not? With very bad results, correct? So I'm just trying to save you from myself. When things upset you, and yes, they're not always the way we like to see how people behave, right? Don't, when things go wrong, don't go with them. Fortunately for me, when I became a Christian, I learned another way. Mm-hmm. And thank God for that. I'm not so sure I'd even be with Becky if I continued that kind of awful behavior, right? But we're all human, correct? God's forgiven me for it, right? I did seek for, whatever. Okay, I'm not going to explain, but needless to say, be still. When you, instead of getting reactionary, be still. Know that God's in control. God's got this. You don't have to act like a fool. I mean, like me. Think before you act. Don't do anything rash that you regret later. Be still. Seek the presence of God. Seek the guidance of God. Seek peace. Pursue it. Calm, calm, calm. It's what can dispel any kind of evil that's out there. Good will overcome evil every single time. Let's be at peace with one another. Let's be at peace with the world. Let's show people what it's like that even though things go wrong and things upset us, we do not have to get agitated. We can pray, do what God would have us do, because peace is so much more priceless than all the things we get upset about. Am I right? If there's places in your life or relationships that you have or situations in our world that are upsetting you, just get into God's presence. Let God's peace overcome you. Keep those voices silent and turn and look towards God and find the peace and calm and trust that will change how you feel inside and also change how you behave. That's what Christ would want us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen.